Okay, well, we've got 5:30, so we'll go ahead and start. Thank you, Council, for showing up for the May 8th Council briefing. We have three pretty meaty topics to go over with you tonight. The first one that we wanted to talk about is the branding of the life-saving station. Normally, when you see photos, you immediately start looking at the photos and you stop listening to whatever's being discussed. So before we pass anything out, I want to talk to you a little bit about the branding and what we've done behind the scenes and what we're trying to get out of the discussion tonight. This is the first time in a number of years that the city will be adding a new building into its inventory. As you're all aware from the deed restrictions and the agreement with the American Red Cross for the acceptance of the building, the building needed to be decommissioned, and decommissioned by the Red Cross standard meant anything that had American Red Cross on the exterior of the building needed to be removed, either in graphical form, meaning their cross that was sitting in the peg, all the way down to the language that said American Red Cross on the side of the building. All of that needed to be removed. So as we took a look at rebranding the building for ownership by the city of Jacksonville Beach, we involved Jacob, obviously, and you may recall that when you adopted our brand standards within the last year, there were multiple different brands that we could use for the city of Jacksonville Beach. And you may also recall from a recent presentation from Ocean Rescue that Ocean Rescue now also has their own standards as well. So what we've put together is a series of vistas or views of different sides of the building with different possible configurations. But I'd like to point out that they're all examples of what the graphics would look like in different situations. This is not by any means a presentation of this is what the building should look like. It's meant, I always hate to say this, but if you remember when you were a kid, you have those color forms where you have stickers in the background and you could put them on in different locations or directions. That's kind of the same thing here. So what we'd like to do is maybe start with passing out what we put together. Jacob's got some graphics that match what we handed out to you, so you can see it on the screen as well. And maybe we can talk about it from the different portions of the building, maybe starting with the peg, because there's some very unique circumstances about the peg and then the building itself. So if we start with the peg, you'll notice that there are four sides to it, but if you look at the sides, they're not the same. In particular, the west side of the peg, the side that faces back on the mainland, the round circle at the top is actually still a window. So you cannot put a logo in that location without closing up the window. The other three sides are all solid circles. So,
you should have two. Everybody should have option one and option two, and each one is 5 pages.
So if you take a look at the first set of scenarios, or the very first sheet, the cover sheet, you'll see what the logos look like. Three different logos that we pulled out that we thought might be the best looking at the building. One of them is the Jacksonville Beach Ocean Rescue logo. And you'll see that one of the options is a complete round logo, which would fill that space. The second is the revised VLSC logo. And the third is the Jacks Beach logo, but all in our solid blue contrast. So those are three options that we thought you might want to take a look at and consider for potentially any of the three sides of the building. As we work our way down the peg, there are some flat squared off spaces that can also have logos imported on them as well. You'll notice that between, all the options that we showed you, the one that seemed to make the most sense was to put a logo on the side facing the ocean. And we gave you as an example putting in the Jacks Beach logo just so you can see what that would look like.
So all these squares, obviously these are windows, so but these are hard surfaces.
Yep.
Yes. So if you look at the first design, the round circle on the top is where the old logo was. Mm-hmm. That square space below that is a solid space that would lend itself to a logo. And then of course we're showing the buoy on the bottom.
No big deal. So that's the peg. When you look at the building itself, we again played around with a few different options, taking a look at east, north, south, and west sides of the building, what was historically there, and what might make the most sense looking back at the building. The one thing that we would like to point out to you, and it's not shown from a graphical representation here, is that the building as it sat before had everything in a red and white contrast. It was a white background with red. That also means that the current shingles that are on the building are also a red, and they're kind of that darker, deeper brick red. And there's not a lot of colors that really match well with that. What we're suggesting is that we potentially go in a different direction with the color palette, like off dark blues, and that at a future point in time when the roof needs to be replaced, replace it with a different neutral shingle that will match anything that's on the roof. We just wanted to throw that out there. That's something that you consider when you're putting these options together. You can see on the first of the large 11 by 17 sheets, we showed what it would look like with Jacksonville Beach Life Saving Station put on the east, west, and south sides of the building. We also showed a couple of locations that the LSC logo could be placed where it made sense because their logo is more latitudinal as opposed to round, square, etc. On the other large 11 by 17 sheet, you'll see a couple options where we show putting logos on the sides of the building as opposed to putting the text. So again, those could go in any type of combination, etc. Our goal is to see if there's any type of a consensus by council coming out of this tonight, or perhaps a consensus on some options that you'd like to see us rework for your consideration. But it is our thought process that whatever a final branding for this building will be, will come back in front of you for a formal vote. So that way we make sure it's solidified as to what we're doing, what it's going to look like, and that way there's something to rely on going forward when someone says, why does the building look the way it does? It was an actual action by council that said this is what we want the brand of this building to look like going forward. So with that, I'm not sure where you want to start the discussion. Maybe you want to start with the building, maybe you want to start with the tech. We can start in either of those locations, get an idea of what you all are.
I'd like to get an idea from my fellow council folks as to whether we think the J-Bor logo and the Jack Beach logo are necessary, are needed, or just DLSC and one of the others, or what?
I think the first thing we need to do is think from a point of we need to make sure people know what the building's used for life saving, and that you know, I think Jacksonville Beach life saving, even if we could put it on the north side as well, even if it's a little smaller or something, that's fine. And I think the lifeguard chair for the city of Jacksonville looks better than the Jacks Beach logo. I just think people need to look at it and go, that's where we're going for help.
So I'm just going to throw a wrench in this because I want to know why we would say life saving station as opposed to lifeguard station, because I did some Googling and it seems like all references to that building is Jacksonville Beach Lifeguard Station. And so I mean, that was what I was thinking we would put on it, would be Jacksonville Beach Lifeguard Station.
Was there a reason the city chose?
Yeah.
Came up with life saving.
That was mentioned at one of the earlier discussions.
We're not locked in.
We're not locked in anything. It's all over Google. If you Google it.
I like that idea of lifeguard. I thought it was a reason.
I heard from somebody with.
I thought it was a negotiation or something.
That life saving was more universal, but.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to bring up about the life saving. What's the difference between life saving lifeguard stations? I know Atlantic Beach and Neptune Beach, they call themselves the lifeguard station. So I was just.
Well, it's a universally known word, so I would say let's stick with lifeguard. It's common, it's what everybody knows. So I like that idea as well.
Yeah. Now, on the logos.
Before we leave the text.
Yeah.
Do we definitely want to spell out Jacksonville Beach, or is it possible to put Jack Beach, or is anybody?
Again, I'm not offended either way.
Yeah, and then if you did Jack's Beach, you could put it on the. It would fit better on the north side, on half of the surface.
I mean, we are. consistent would be an inconsistent.
I do think, apart from our logo, whenever we refer to it in text or anything like that, we even on social media, we never refer to ourselves as Jack's Beach. I'm not.
Yeah. Okay.
We
yeah.
just never do. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, not offering an opinion.
Yeah, when it comes to our city facilities, they all carry the Jacksonville Beach.
Then I think Jacksonville Beach.
I think it looks good the way, you know, it's very consistent with, was the intent here for this to be navy blue?
Yes.
Is there a reason as opposed to red? Because I always think red is kind of associated with,
and associated with our building.
Other than the contrast on the roof, I mean, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah. It's the exact same color as the Ocean Rescue blue.
But the red is in the chairs.
It's a different red. It is a different red.
Yeah, a couple of different shades of red using our logo, using the chair that's in the Ocean Rescue logo and the BLSC logo. They're all a little different. So we're trying to minimize the different colors as much as we could, but it's, you know.
We can work with this. The full color logo for Jack's Beach, those colors didn't work well at all with the deep red that's on the roof and on the shutter, in that shutter area. So that's why we were going toward the maybe blue, the monotone for the Jack's Beach, and then for the lettering as well. If we're going to stick to the red, we need to keep it that same red so that it would work with the roof. And then we had some problem trying to get the logos to work with that red.
The other thing I was going to bring up too is, and I went online, so first aid for people that have problem readings or something, it's either what I think it's a red square and a white box or a white cross, or it's just a red cross, which for someone that is out of town that doesn't speak English, the first thing to look for is a red cross, which means aid. Where are we on that type of markings for people that from Europe that don't speak English, that don't understand what this is, they might know what this is, the buoy, but.
Well, we did inquire about that with the Red Cross, and every Red Cross that's familiar about we would be allowed to use the Red Cross on the bag, and the answer was no, that it's proprietary as part of their logo. We also inquired about the new BLSC logo has the inverted colors in the center. We asked whether we could use that on our peg with the red with the white cross in the center, and they said.
And this is from the Red Cross?
This is from the Red Cross.
Could you say that one more time?
The Red Cross, we inquired whether or not we could use that inverted color scheme with the cross on the peg, the red with the white in the middle,
red circle with the white cross.
So we can't use that.
We could use that. They said that inverted color scheme for the cross, the white cross with the red background, can only be used with the words to identify the text.
Gotcha. Because this is a white cross with the red on the outside.
Yeah, and I think that they actually have wording around the exterior.
Yes, right, it's the
and the BLSC, this is just their PNG file logo that they sent us, so I wasn't able to edit it, and I wouldn't have edited it, so I don't know if they would be open to removing the red buoy on the side and just making it a circle, or if the Red Cross would allow just a circle, but this
are we able to use like a green?
I think it looks great with the buoy up there.
Yeah.
It's just the reason I'm thinking is when I was in Spain, Barcelona, obviously I speak Spanish, but there were markings of first aid stations, and they had the Red Cross, not the actual Red Cross, but which meant first aid. So I was just trying to.
Yeah, the feedback from the American Red Cross was if you wanted to do the inversion, which is a white cross with the red background, red circle around it, that there has to be text associated with it, and they would want the right to review it before it is approved to go up there.
So just a thought.
What that wording would say, don't know. Maybe it would say
that was just a thought.
If we wanted to do that, that's the route we have to go.
Well, I mean, I agree with Amanda, though, because I think, I mean, if there is a universal symbol for first aid, that's the place where it needs to be, because we want people to know that that's where they can go for medical help.
I don't want to jump into a legal battle with the Red Cross either. I think we can do that with, like Corey said, with the chair, and maybe instead of being blue, being red, like our chair on the peg, like it, on the second sheet. I like that idea. Maybe not blue, though, maybe red. It's an iconic symbol.
Yeah, I think, Jacob, we could maybe have some leeway to work with the colors. If the red that's in our current logo doesn't really work well with the red that's on the roof, but if we wanted to stick with that red color scheme, we could, perhaps work with some of the logos.
Now, I'm
back to the text again. Any thoughts there? I'd rather see it be red.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the way it was.
Yeah.
I think that makes it more consistent with the way the building was. It'll be identified. It's more, you know, sticks out. Emergencies.
Okay.
On the logos on the south side, I think to keep it consistent, if we were to do the three logos on the bottom, I would suggest to use the lifeguard chair on the bottom instead of Jack's Beach, just to keep it consistent, since the building already says Jacksonville Beach. So removing the Jack's Beach logo, put in the chair logo on the bottom, or put in the VLSC logo in the middle, and I'm being OCD on that.
I'd just rather have text on all sides. I don't think that's three logos. If we have the, I think the text is in red.
Yeah, I agree. With the text on all sides. The text on all sides.
I do as well.
Yeah.
I think if we look at the elevation of the south side on the first thing, that's where we can put the lifeguard chair at the top of the peg, and then that square that just underneath it. Maybe put the J-Bor logo in there. Then you have the chair, the J-Bor, VLSC, and the text. We cover it all.
That the VLSC one on the south side, and that one, it is.
It's a window, right?
It's off. It's not even. It's this training.
It's a bit of training room.
So it's set back. It's not even. But I mean, all would still be viewable from most angles. But it is not even with that front wall.
Do we need to put any logos on the building? Keep it simple?
I think it's just to highlight your organizations.
Yeah. And I mean, I like the VLSC logo. I think that looks good and recognizable, and I like the lifeguard chair. The Ocean Rescue looks a little busy. I mean, I don't know how it would look when it's like
they have big. A more simplified
okay.
option as well.
Okay. But I like your idea. If we're going to do all three of them, put them all three on that one side.
And only that's
yeah.
Only the logos on the east side, and then Jacksonville Beach lifeguard station.
South side.
Three logos on the south side, and then the written text on the other three sides.
If we were to think about
text everywhere and our logos on the side, on the south.
I like this. If we were to vote on it, I minus the Jack's Beach, we could, like you were saying, put the chair right on the oceanfront side. Yeah. Where it says Jack's Beach.
I think I'd put the VLSC logo up there higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's
you're
not
so
gonna see it down there at the ground. Yeah.
The only thing truly, the only reason we put it at the bottom, and again, this could change with the VLSC's, whatever their logo guidelines are, is that by the time you fit the whole logo in the width of the square or the circle, it becomes, you can see on the north side, it becomes very small. I don't know how much detail would be lost if you're looking at it from the ground, but that was our only concern. And again, the VLSC might change it to just make it that circle, if that's allowable, with the wording in it, obviously, but that's just the only logo we had to work with, so that's what we went with. And maybe it wouldn't lose that much detail, but We had to shrink it down a lot to put it in there.
That makes sense. I prefer it to be higher.
So is that enough now?
Well, it sounds like we have a consensus on that everybody seems to want the text to be in red, but do we have a consensus on what the name of the building is going to be?
Jackson Beach Lifeguard Station?
Lifeguard Station.
As opposed to Life Saving Station?
Mm-hmm. I knew I shouldn't have left the room. Why did we go against Life Saving?
Because if you Google this building, everything says Jackson Beach Lifeguard Station.
Yeah.
And they said there wasn't a specific reason that they changed it from lifeguard to life station. I mean, life saving, unless you knew of a reason.
So it was specifically a request from the VLSC because they're the volunteer life saving corps. We also had the thought going to move the fire marshal into this building, or planning to move fire marshal into this building, that it's more than just lifeguarding, so you may be able to.
As long as there was a reason, I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Well, but here's the only thing. I mean, I see what you're saying about the fire marshal, but our city lifeguards are going to be there 7 days a week, and the VLSC, they're going to be there 1 day a week, and I don't think that warrants the name being life saving. That reason.
Was that part of the, you feel like that was part of the agreement? That
no,
was
that
made?
Was a just request, a just a courtesy that. Request from them, and I agree. I think that's an easy thing to do, and again, the double argument of having our fire marshal house there. I don't think it changes anything. Lifeguard, life station, to the life saving is to the general public. It doesn't, it's not a different building.
Where's J-Bor on this request, changing it to life saving? Did we ask them?
Yeah, I'm not sure that they have a preference as to whether it's lifeguard or life saving. I think as long as somewhere on the building it's denoted that Ocean Rescue operates out of this building. It's,
okay.
I think as long as we use their logo somewhere on the building, it's a prominent location because they are there 7 days a week, and that'd be fine. And I think you indicated they've got the simplified chair logo, the thing you use, correct? Mm-hmm. So if the other logo is too busy, you've got the chair that we can use for you.
Do we have anybody from J-Bor here?
No, we do.
So life saving or life part?
I'm indifferent, honestly.
Yeah, I'm indifferent too.
I mean, if there wasn't a specific reason, then I was definitely leaning towards lifeguard. But I mean, I'm open, and I mean, this has to come to us on council anyway, right? So we can always, you know, vote on it then if we need to make changes.
Personally, I think from a historical perspective, I mean, it's housed lifeguards for all these years. So to me, I still, everybody I talk to calls it the lifeguard station.
I don't think that'll ever change anyway.
Yeah. So we can
still call it the life saving, but it's still going to be called the lifeguard station no matter what.
Still call it the Gator Bowl, so it's all semantics at this point.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of the agreement, so.
It was just a courtesy discussion that I think was easy enough.
Yeah.
Is easy enough to honor without disrupting anything.
Yeah.
I'm okay with life saving.
I'm probably going to talk to a couple people at VLSC and see if they have a strong preference or not personally before I make a decision.
Or J-Bor, yeah. You're talking to J-Bor or VLSC? Probably both. Okay. Yeah. I think it would be good to have some input from J-Bor on this too.
So for the next visuals, it sounds like we definitely want to stick to the red, like the red that's on the window trim and the shutters. Change the text to red, and then we'll work with some logos to work within that red scene, and maybe look at the less busy Ocean Rescue logo.
But then include Jake Wine on the south side.
I was just going to say, it sounds like we're, it looks like we're, the red text on the west, north, and east sides of the building, and the three logos on the south side of the building. Is that what I heard you all?
No, we want to text everywhere.
At least that's what Corey proposed was.
And can we even get text on that north side?
And put text on all four sides.
Was there text on the north side before?
No, so close to the hotel.
It'll be a little. Okay, oh, yeah, I see. And it's blocked by that other room, too.
It's on the train, it would be on the training room.
Yeah, the training room. And we did, you know, want to, at least we showed sticking the, sticking with the logo on the training room where it was before with the PLSC logo. I like that, which I think works well there.
David, I'm seeing on this picture here, and I know you were talking about the sizes. Now, on the VLSC logo that's on the bottom, and I'm looking at this picture here, are we able to put it here, or is there a reason why? Or is it just to move it up?
That is a possibility. Yeah, okay. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's a solid square painted fireball.
Yeah, it's all white.
Yeah.
Talk about oceanfront, east side?
Yeah.
Oceanfront, east side.
Move it up to this
square. The square between the two windows, between the two active windows.
Right where the mouse is.
Mm-hmm. Right above the bottom window.
That would make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike, what I was referring to on the south side, it's not in lieu of the text, but just to make sure we had all three logos presented on the south side. Not in lieu of this. So we have JBOR either here.
I see what you're saying. On the south side of the peg, there would be two logos, and the third would be the VLSC logo visible on the training room. Got it.
Well, question. Does the VLSC have access to the training room?
For the agreement, no.
Then, I don't know about that. They have access with authorization. I mean, they raised a lot of the money to build the training as well. I'm just trying to be sensitive to the whole situation and how they might feel with their logo on it. I get what you're saying, they raised the money, but if they're not allowed to use the room, then what does that do? Does that create a problem?
They are allowed to use it, though, just with authorization for the board meetings and stuff, right?
And I think they will use
the second floor.
Second floor training room.
That was my understanding. That's what the agreements, yeah, I thought they could use it upon request.
You can work with maybe some different locations, and especially if there's any opportunity to for the VLSC logo to only use that circle, which has the text.
Yeah.
And the cross, that might give us another option. But I think that's something that would have to be worked out with the VLSC, because it would be a modification to their logo, and then of course make sure it's a good logo for us. We can explore that.
And you all like that on the east side of the building, moving the logo up to between the two windows and then have all three logos visible on the page?
I think we do. We can come back with some other ideas.
Do they need to come to us, or just come to some council?
I know.
I think if we can get in front of you one more time to make sure that we've got a graphic that looks good, then we bring it back in front of you for final. But again, just to make sure, because we're talking about some changes in some of the things that we're discussing are things that we haven't thought of, like when using a portion of the VLSC logo. We're not sure if we're able to do that. That might change the way things are presented. So we'll come back to you one more time as quickly as we can with a revised graphic based on the feedback we got tonight. This is one of those things, we don't want to rush it, we want to get it right.
Yep.
And right now the building is a clean palette, so it's not like we have to do anything by a date certain, but we do want to get this done and get it.
I know the mayor said at the last council meeting, if we were trying to get it done before or right before or right around Memorial Day weekend. So I'm assuming since it's going back, it probably won't happen. Okay.
Probably won't happen on Memorial Day.
Okay.
And then we have one more council meeting.
And that's next Monday.
So. Okay. No worries.
The mayor is sometimes overly optimistic.
So, you know, hey, you know, pushing the boundaries.
She didn't say what you need to do.
Jamie and Karen, you guys got the direction?
Okay. Yes, we do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sounds good. With that, we'll move on to the second item, I guess. Heather, do you want to do C and then B or B and then C?
Let's do B.
Let's do B?
Yeah.
Come on. Yep.
I think Taylor's going to go to the computer.
Yeah.
So she can, because for item C, we've got a PowerPoint.
Okay.
So she can, it's her computer, I'll let her know. She'll
let her picture the bottom
of the chair. Yeah.
Sorry. Aww. Bye.
So this item, just as a quick refresher for council, we are looking at doing a request for proposal for redevelopment of the Latham Plaza parking lot. One of the things that planning and development wanted to do with you this evening is review some of the criteria that we would put out in the RFP as part of that process so that developers would have an idea of what we're looking at for redevelopment of the site. So with that, I'll turn it over to Heather to get into a little bit more detail.
Awesome. Thank you, Mike. So in your memo, there's some information about, you know, basic stuff. What is a public-private partnership? What are the different types? And what the process we're generally going to follow is. A lot of the details of these type of agreements come with the negotiation process, so we didn't want to dig too deep into that. So what we wanted to focus on with you guys today are what's on page 2 of your memo, which are the criteria. So we talked at our other workshops that we had to discuss this project with what some of the criteria might be should the building go above 35 feet. So we've laid out really two options. One, a building at 35 feet as it stands now, and one at 55 feet if the referendum passes. So we wanted to kind of present both options to you. So once we know what happens on May 16th, we can move forward. But essentially what we've done is take different elements of what's in the downtown redevelopment plan and some of the comprehensive plan and different projects that have gone on in the downtown and created this list of criteria for this project that include things like retail and office uses, predominantly with possibly residential. Obviously, the project will include a parking structure, active commercial uses on the ground floor facing both First Street and Latham Plaza. One of the changes that did come up in the various workshops we've had is originally the plan called for a street to cut through from First to Second, and it was, I think, unanimous that both council and the CRA want that. They wanted this project to go right up to Latham Plaza, so there was that that back and forth from the uses. So the street's gone, so we want the active commercial on the first floor, rooftop restaurant and or bar on the east and north sides of the building, enhanced setbacks from Latham Plaza to provide ample space for outdoor
seating. When you say and or bar, the only way it would be a bar if somebody had one of the 13 bar licenses.
Or a full liquor license, yes. Right, it could still be a 2 COP with beer and wine, possibly.
But I'm saying, but it would be, when you say bar, I want to make sure it's a restaurant, SRX,
that would
bar
be the
that's part of the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be a standalone bar.
No, or a situation where, kind of like how Margaritaville has kind of a restaurant on one floor and a bar on the other. It's all one establishment, but they've kind of got it broken up like that. So kind of open to flexibility with the vendor.
I don't want it just to be a bar.
Yeah, right. No, I understand what you're saying.
Right. I have the same issue, and I don't know why we would say restaurant or bar. Why we would just say
sure.
Restaurant.
Restaurant with bar. Bar.
Yeah, the intent was to stand.
I don't think any of us want to see more bars in the downtown. I think we want to see more restaurants in the downtown.
Really can't.
That's
what.
Right.
But
okay. I think our goal is more restaurants.
Okay. One of the things the CRA had mentioned at one of their workshops to discuss this was some type of event or conference space that would be standalone, not necessarily part of a hotel, which is what we have available now. We discussed publicly accessible restrooms on the ground floor that would supplement additional restrooms for festivals as well as users of the building and Latham Plaza. Additional art installations adjacent to Latham. possible police storage and or additional office space for our police department in our downtown Cape. The idea behind the parking is that it would replace the surface parking that's there now, so equal to or greater the number of spaces that are there in the parking lot now, while providing parking for the new commercial uses and additional parking if it can be provided. So ideally, we would gain parking from this project above and beyond what we have now and what would be required for the commercial. Architectural design criteria that would meet CBD zoning district standards or something agreed upon by council and the CRA as part of a rezoning application, which we anticipate this project would go through. And then,
can I ask a question about
sure.
that? Why wouldn't it meet the CBD zoning district standards? Why
would
it
have to
have deviations?
Sometimes it's just good to have some flexibility, depending where the parking garage entrance is, for example, where the public restrooms are. So it's kind of, we have an idea in our head of the elements that will go into the building, but not exactly where everything's going to be, such as if there's going to be Cape storage. So often part of a rezoning application, there'll be a little tweaking beyond what's the CBD, the standards to allow access. Like, I'll use Spring Hill Suites, for example. Typically, we don't allow access from First Street. That's our only option. They're only on First Street. So when they did their rezoning, that was one of the deviations they did. So just to be open to it as a possibility if there is the need for a deviation. If not, then we would just recommend using the CBD standards.
Okay.
And then the last one, and this has come up in different workshops with CRA, is to ensure that the parking structure is complementary of the building design. In other words, you don't know it's a garage unless you know it's a garage kind of thing, or you see the signage with a P. We don't want it to look like a parking garage. We want it to be architecturally pleasing and complement the downtown. So those are all the criteria that we came up with for at 35 feet and looking for your input, questions.
We have a question for Chief. Given that the Cape lot is only two blocks away, how much of a space, or do you think you need any kind of space in this development for a project? Would it be down to like a... just an office space to do reports, or could we enhance the Cape lot to adequately suffice what you might need?
When we looked at that building, we wanted to make it a dual use building with office space too, that was turned down at the time. And basically, now it's just a storage space. Mm-hmm. Very little room. We had a retrofit office and a four-seat air conditioner in there, and some computer lines, which are concrete. So it's not optimal.
Okay.
A great location. I don't know what, I think there's some development looking at that a lot anyway. I'm not sure what exactly we're going to do with that building. I think we're coming from that side of the house, but we're looking at some place with a little ways location that we can see a lot. Some of that would kind of release some office space, maybe not spot station per se, but some air conditioning storage, because we're going to do reports. Maybe even possibly a small command post if we had to, or something like that.
I like that
vision. That was the original cast, but down to the
people. Yeah, I think the command post there would be an excellent idea. Mm-hmm.
But, and I would, my thought is, when people park in the garage, the main point of where they enter and exit, they're walking by Jack's Beach Police Department. Right there. And I mean, just being visual, yeah.
More visual presence down there than instead of your front building we're at. It's kind of off the side, but it is kind of off the side.
And then conversations were held between Chief and I about what needs they might have out of this space. This was prior to the conversation with council about where they wanted to focus efforts on a parking garage. And there was a thought that maybe the Cape lot, which was the original concept and had shown vertical parking structure, if that was going to turn into a true parking garage, then perhaps there would be a need to relocate Cape storage from that lot to this lot.
Okay.
So if there is still a desire that some type of redevelopment occur on that lot and ultimately move the Cape storage from that location, then it would make sense to try and envision some storage on this site moving forward, along with a potential substation for report writing and a presence for all of our social events.
And the other additional thing is release pressure off our building.
Mm-hmm. But I guess
probably with my pocket, a new building.
Thank you. I look forward to that.
So why wouldn't the 35 foot
criteria include enhanced pedestrian corridors on First Street and Second Street, and enhanced pedestrian amenities on First Street and Second Street.
So
why couldn't we do that?
Yeah, we could. One of the reasons we put that in the 5-foot list was to kind of help with that pedestrian level comfort, so that they're not walking through, you know, that kind of building tunnel, as you hear kind of that term thrown around. It certainly could be in both.
Because I think ultimately we want anything in our downtown area to be pedestrian focused, I think. So
yeah, they will be. The
that should be included.
Yeah, and the First Street side, based on our current code, will have to have, you know, that active commercial space. But the Second Street side will almost be a dead zone, where it will have maybe that's where the police component is. But that will be where the entrance will have to be. So we want to make it friendlier. So we can certainly just move that up to the 35 foot.
But I would think with the 55, because you're increasing the height, you could slightly reduce the footprint, mm-hmm, to allow for wider sidewalks and, mm-hmm, stuff. And I mean, I envision it as, especially the place between the building and Latham Plaza, to be more like a promenade where you had cafe style out there, and it could potentially reduce, have a little bit of a setback to increase that pedestrian friendliness. Because if we go 35, it seems like they're going to want to take up as much as they possibly can.
I think we can say that no, we want there to be that enhancement that you're talking about, because why wouldn't we? Because we get to say what we want. So I think we should include it with the 35.
Yeah, okay.
Why should we accept less? We should ask for more.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, you also reduce the possibility of people going after, like wanting to do the project.
We can always ask.
Yeah, and I don't think that's got to be a very dramatic change from just regular, you know, 5-foot sidewalk to maybe extending it to be an 8-foot sidewalk.
Right.
We want to make it consistent with the rest of downtown too. So I have to look to see what makes sense. It is a huge property.
Yeah. So it seems like we have some wiggle room.
So in addition to that one, I'll just cover the ones in the 55 foot that are different, or that in addition to the ones that are 35 foot. So enhanced building setbacks, landscaping, and pedestrian amenities on First Street. So that kind of goes hand in hand with the one that you mentioned. Enhanced architectural features along the west and south sides of the building that could include some two-dimensional art installations. Again, we've already discussed these with the CRA, and some of these include their feedback as well. So our thought with that one, you know, that southern wall will really probably be the 55-foot, if you look at it from, there's nothing there but a parking lot right now. So that's the one that could kind of go all the way up straight. There's no pedestrian access. It backs up to a parking lot. But on the other walls, you know, we want to have those step backs. So one of the things that we're proposing is that building step back of 20 feet after the first 25 feet in height along the Latham Plaza and First Street side, and then a step back of 15 foot after that. So you basically have a tiered building, the first floor, and it steps back as you go higher. Another thing we added to this criteria that I don't think we discussed in previous meetings was considering that any portions of the building that would essentially be considered a fifth floor would only be enclosed by maybe 50%. So you're not bringing in a solid fifth floor to get to that 55 feet, but it would be a smaller percentage of that. So again, just some ideas we're throwing out there for you guys to consider as we, you know, try to finalize the RFQ and the RFP. Again, waiting for the vote to be complete and see which direction we're going to go.
So I'll beat my dead horse about crime prevention through environmental design. I think that residential use is important for this development. That's a huge component of safety for our cities. When you have eyes and ears that are in the downtown area, they get to see what's going on, and if there's an issue, they're picking up the phone, and they have, if they're owning it, if it's not an apartment, and they have ownership of it, then they're motivated to keep our areas.
It's true. I think once you activate something like that in nature, it activates more foot traffic and activates the environment. Some neighborhoods don't have any residential or stores, and that's where more crime is committed. And then once people come in and develop it, people come in, they speak up, I agree.
But I also like the idea of having office space there, so
yeah.
I don't have to drive downtown to my office. No, I'm just kidding. No, because I mean that will keep people there during the day, and then people are going to go have lunch. They'll activate the park. It'll help our small locally owned businesses and restaurants that are going to grow with this other change to be able to be successful and make money during lunch. So I think it's a combination of those to be able to make sure that it's being utilized and you know, that we're getting more use out of Latham Plaza during the day and stuff too, because there's probably nobody out there even during the week at all. So I mean, it's a beautiful area, and it's trying to get the right fit. But I think, you know, office space, from what our research has done, has been a very nice office space is very much in need, is my understanding from the research we've done.
Question, I didn't see it on here. I know this is just the first process. On the design, right now we have three entry exit points. On this new project, have you guys talked about how many entrance or exit points with the car?
We haven't gotten that level of detail yet.
Now, logistically, I think, and I've seen it firsthand, when it's busy, we have festivals, when we have the 904 pop-up, when I go to work, there's a few choking points on that roundabout, and it's very frustrating, but I've seen it to where people are trying to park, and it traffic backs up, and then it's almost to a deadlock. Now, I hope when this goes out, I hope the designer, the architect, will come in and try to fix or alleviate that problem, because when people get off of work, especially when you're going that way, when you're going south along 2nd Street, Beach Avenue, or Beach Boulevard, only the middle lane is completely taken, but the right lane is not, and it's creating a choking point. And if we're busy and we built a garage, I just wanted to,
yeah,
I wanted the design to actually alleviate the traffic situation there.
Ingress and egress have to be worked around the roundabout. Mm-hmm.
Maybe get rid of the runabout. I don't know.
Any other questions or comments? I will add, I'm not going to go into detail on it, but there's an attachment to the memo from the Southern Group. Put together a little more information for you guys and just some examples of actual projects in Jacksonville, just to give you an idea of different types of partnerships.
When are we going to determine the type of partnership?
Great question. Not sure I have the answer.
how about who is going to make the decision on the type of partnership? Is that a council decision, or is that?
That should be a council decision based on proposals, unless there's an absolute that you want to put into the RFP process. Mm-hmm. So, as an example, if you take a look at the document provided by the Southern Group, you'll see that the first option is a lease, and the bottom option is a catch or catch-all for the purchase of property. We have presumed, correct me if I'm wrong, up to this point in time, that the city is not parting with the land. We are not selling the land. We are entertaining a long-term lease for the land. So that's kind of an absolute that I think is probably the highest on the list to make sure we're all on the same page, that we are not interested in parting with the land other than doing.
Well, that's my,
is that
my,
something you're wrong on the same?
Well, can I just ask, I mean, can you just break down why one's more beneficial than the other one, if there's going to be a building on it that's...
Well, the big benefit is the city's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
We've been here for over 100 years, and we'll be here for another 100 years. Developers and developments come and go.
Yeah. Right, so then they wouldn't be able to tear it down. We'd always have control. Yeah. Okay, that's perfect. Okay.
Correct.
That's... So he's trying to figure
out. Now, the conditions under which a proposal is made, I know a couple of you have asked me, what's the possible financial contributions from the city? And the answer is, we won't know until we see the proposals. Because if it's going to be a long-term land lease, someone might step forward and say, our proposal calls for the city putting in a pro rata portion of a parking garage payment for construction. Someone else might say, we'll build everything up front, but we're expecting not to pay you any rent for the next 30 years. And we'll have to weigh those proposals against the opposite end of the spectrum. We won't know until we see what the proposals look like, what they propose for financial impact to us, whether it's upfront capital and no long-term payments, or long-term payments and no upfront capital, or somewhere in between.
Sure. I mean, I'd like to see what other people, what they come up with. I mean, they're the experts in this, so I mean, I don't think
we would
have
to.
Yeah, exactly.
But as long as we're all on the same page that we're not looking to, quote, dispose of the property or sell the property and take a long-term payment.
No. I wrote down build, operate, transfer, design, build, and then the last one was
buy, build, operate.
Yeah. That was just the options that I.
But we should definitely make sure it's known in the RFP that we're not interested in selling the land.
Yeah.
And then they can come up with whatever other options.
This one. No, I got it.
I am ready for the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to do just a quick little intro just to kind of cover the process a little bit, but I don't want to take too much time away from HAF. So the next item is the Latham Plaza redesign project, or reimagined project. And I just wanted to cover some of the history. Obviously, you guys know we've hired HAF to tackle this project for us. They have been wonderful to work with. Their project management team is here to give you a presentation. As you guys all know, this project started way back in 2016 when the city hired Dix Height to do the downtown master implementation plan. So you know, I've got the 2015 downtown action plan right here where it talks about, you know, the reimagining of Latham Plaza, the original concept that Dix Height put together that I think was just in this book and didn't get a whole lot of discussion from this area council, but the, you know, the reimagined concept included things like a water feature, shade, seating, some type of interactive area, flexible lawns to still accommodate the festivals, terraced lawn seating, more bike parking, public art, decorative paving, and reconfiguring on-street parking. And it was really conceptual at the time. And so what we've been working with HAF on is to, and again, this was developed with a ton of public input in the very beginning of the process. So I believe 2016 and 2017, there were a bunch of charrettes. I was at one of them. I think all of you were probably at least one of them in some capacity to gather input from the public. So that's where this came from. So this was the starting point that we had with HAF that said, we're moving forward from this design. So we talked about it with CRA and council at a joint workshop back in January of 23. And we presented kind of where we are now to the CRA back in April. They had a few comments that HAF took back and made some tweaks. So obviously what you're seeing is not the final, but it's kind of where we are now with the conceptual. So we're looking to get council's feedback at this point in time. Staff met prior to this meeting just to talk about some kind of the nitty-gritty stuff, the dumpsters, the road closures, bathrooms, fencing, trash, where food vendors will go, where the dumpster will go, bounce houses, and really get into like making sure that we thought about all those details. Some questions are still unanswered. Some we're going to still work through as we go through this process, but we've included parks, public works, the fire marshal to get their feedback, police department as well. So lastly, I'll add, once we get council's feedback and we've worked out any other internal issues, HAF's going to work with us to schedule two public workshops so we can get feedback from the public, festival promoters, and downtown businesses. So that's kind of our next step after this.
So I have one question. You did bring it up. This is coming out of the plan, the CRA plan.
Mm-hmm, correct.
That went through the CRA, went through a
correct.
Bunch of different things,
yes.
And then came before
yeah.
council previously mm-hmm. and was supported. And that's similar to the building that we're doing,
mm-hmm.
that the parking lot, because it has gone through this whole process,
mm-hmm.
that we are building something there because that
yes.
has already been voted on. The council's not saying, okay, this has already been approved and
correct.
The city
yeah.
has already done
this.
So.
Yeah, this was in the 2015 downtown action plan, which was one of the amendments to the
yeah.
downtown redevelopment plan. Then it went through all this stuff with Dix Height to get down into, I mean, literally the weeds of what do we want to see
yeah.
when we redo Latham Plaza? So what are the elements we want?
A lot of people are asking, why are we doing anything?
Yeah,
and I think
because it's in the plan.
Because it's in the plan.
Right,
okay.
And it gets to some of the things that we've heard over the years that people want out of this space.
Yeah.
We got information from surveys. There was an online survey back in 2016 or 17 when Excite started this. There were, like I said, charrettes, the whole red dot, green dot exercise.
Several.
So in the end, we're circling right back to starting with the public or ending with the public. We started with the public, doing all this stuff in between. So with that, if you guys don't have any other questions for Taylor or I, we'll turn it over to Hap. They've got a presentation for you and some big graphs that we can crash.
In the essence of time, because we do have our friends next door getting started in 35 minutes. I'm going to, if you guys are okay, jump through this kind of first part that explains it, just kind of, again, how we got to this point, and jump right into the final concept design that we got to with council, CRA, and city feedback, and then we'll kind of move from that point, if that is all right. All right. I think it's slide 13.
Is this handout different than what Molly emailed us last week?
It is. Okay. So what you guys got last week was still the draft, and so there were a couple of tweaks, and then we had our internal meeting and a couple of things to add to this. And so this is the most updated version thus far. It shouldn't be too different, but there is a little bit more information in it. All right. Dustin, all right. Take it away.
So mentally, I'm jumping ahead 13 slides here.
Sorry.
That's fine. So the concept, the design concept is that this squiggly line right here, this is your shoreline, this is your skyline right here. And this water feature here would be your rising sun, this water feature would be your reflecting sun. So this, the curvilinear lines here, that's your reflection, the straight lines represent those sunbeams coming out, moving up to your heavens or your galaxy here. And I tried really hard to get some sort of a spiral pattern here and just couldn't quite do it. But we did like this idea of sort of these curved retaining walls where this may be at 0, 1.5, 3, and 4.5 feet. So some terrace seating that seemed to generate excitement from the CRA. We did find some precast concrete that has glow-in-the-dark material in it. We really want to put here to kind of give you that galaxy feel to it, and as well, it's also turtle friendly.
It is. It's not considered a light.
But
low,
with this idea here, we maintain a 10-foot wide access from potentially this parking lot, this mixed-use area here, to the beach for people who just want to pass through here. We maintain this axis here, but one of the design criteria the city had come to me with was the idea that maybe the Seawalk Pavilion is cut off to be a separate event. So that's why when we've kind of designed this, we've thought about what might be this site here if you did some sort of temporary fencing. And that's why we're showing the tents here, is we wanted to maintain a separate space from here with vendors in the back, concert up front, while still having a 904 pop-up here in Latham Plaza. And so we're showing, from a design perspective, it's aesthetically pleasing to show 35 tents right here, but we can pack those tents in. We have some concepts that we've sketched out where I fit 107 on there at one time. That really gets into what I've heard from the city about wanting to control the size of the pop-ups. But right here we're showing 96 in the Seawalk Pavilion, so if you're doing an event across the street here with both sites, you have over 100 vendors if you wanted that. Or if you wanted to have two separate vents here, you could have, using this space here, you could have over 100 vendors here, and you could fill this up as well. I know that's something that some of the public have been commenting on. But to the Latham Plaza site itself, we're really looking at, from the skyline up, being the vendor play, the vendor area. We've added a small stage right here. This could be a permanent structure. It could be a space where there's a lease structure that's brought in for a temporary basis.
There you go. Just focuses more on it.
All right. And so that's what we're kind of talking through here, is the dune, the skyline, and the sky. Again, I had this whole pitch I was planning on, so I'm jumping ahead here. But that's really how I kind of see Latham Plaza, sort of the three zones. The dune area here that will be activated for a younger audience, the people coming through. We've talked about trying to find, I'd say, some play structures that mimic sort of sea turtles or octopus, and seating that mimics sort of the turtle eggs. It's very literal to the beach, but the beach is right there, so it's like, why not? We have talked about potentially using a synthetic turf here. We haven't gone into looking at the pricing on that, but you know, we're showing that graphic, and we have found a vendor that provides a synthetic turf that I think is very visible. So what I like about that is it gives you a little bit of mounding here. We've talked about maybe doing a foot and a half berm there outside of the entrance to City Hall, just to create some topography where kids can run up and down and play, and then again using the turtles throughout here. So again, that represents those sea turtles going to the ocean. So next slide. And then kind of getting to where the potential future development would be on the south here. This is kind of that zoomed in area where we have some permanent shade structures. We talked about doing more trees, which we added in for some of the iterations. We talked about shade cells, but city staff said we really like the permanent structure based on the maintenance. So we've kind of found this brand right now. It's more about, I mean, it looks more like that beach umbrella. We're still looking through as we get into the next phase, finding the right vendor with the right shape and the right colors for us. And sort of that bistro seating outside of the mixed use facility here, that might be that front yard. Next slide, please. Yeah, interest of time. And we get into the center feature here. Now, initially, this was a lot of our focus of design, but then as we started trying to connect both Latham Plaza and Siwa Pavilion, we've kind of stepped back from that. But in my mind, what I've always seen, and you did accept this at the January 30th meeting, is probably this idea of some sort of like an infinity pool. You can't bathe in it. You know, maybe you can walk up in it, but it's not a shower. It's not a bath, but it gives you that water feature. And I've been thinking about some images from the First National Bank of Omaha, where they had a sculpture garden themed to wildlife in Nebraska. And so I've always imagined this as being some sort of a sculpture. And let's go to the next slide, please. Next slide. Back up a little bit. Kind of a water feature here with the pelicans and your willets and your plovers that really highlight the beach life, and we've been thinking that that would be kind of that low reflecting pool, again reflecting the sunlight, again not trying to create anywhere where a homeless person could get in and bathe, but having water that's coming out of these little walls right here that gives you that vertical element, and then that water spills out across the site, again with what I'm proposing to sculptures of the variant avian fauna that you can see outside. Next slide, please. And then moving across to the stage, again, we've talked about potentially it's some sort of a leased structure that could come in, or a rental structure, but we could also use different faux woods and build something permanent. We could either bring in some sort of a prefab structure to put over it, or we could bring in an architect and design something custom.
How about something like agricultural? Sort of in the concept of like the tiki bar area under the jumbo shrimp. There's like a hill that's right in front of it. The kids love it. So if it's not being used as a stage, and you have some kind of elevation there that's landscaped in, you know, and then it can be converted to a stage whenever it needs to be. So it's
that's so an option.
Yeah.
I would say for this concept right now, I'll point out for the pool or the equipment we're going to need for
the
water feature. That is one reason we hide that here. And at least initially in my mind, I try to keep all that level for that expansion of vendors in there. But we could play with the topography there. Next slide, please. Mm-hmm. All right, and then kind of moving up into that sky zone here. Now, the one thing we have already started talking with our sub-consultants for the next phase. And so we've started having that conversation about how do we provide power here. We could continue with the 100-foot extension cords across the plaza, but we're gonna try to do better than that. So one of the things that you're not seeing here because of just the way the graphics, but we've started talking about are there are vendors that could create a precast planter essentially, or basically really just a seat that would wrap around maybe every one of these palms, but then we could feed power up into it and we could have outlets there, as opposed to what we have now, which is the large amount of pedestrian lighting with bollards. It's very, very prickly out in the plaza on that side. And so what we're really trying to do is figure out a way to sort of put the electrical power embedded into it. And then even with the synthetic turf, when I've talked to the vendor, it's very common for them to just put an irrigation box on the ground there they can cover with the turf, but they can have outlets in it when we need it. Next slide. So these are some of the elevations that we've done. So this would be looking out the front door for Latham Plaza. I realize these are oak trees. We were asked by CRA to put oak trees in. My experience has been if you plant a sapling this close to the beach, the wind, the salt air is going to eat it up.
think those got vetoed a little bit in our staff meeting as well with our maintenance guys. They were like, please don't.
In this concept, we were really trying to figure out, you know, can we bring in enough palms here to create a buffer? Maybe we bring in a large enough oak tree like they did down in Daytona Beach. I'm showing this because that's what I was asked to do.
I
think it'd be very hard to get oak trees that large and full in that area. But that was one of the requests that we had. Next slide. And then just kind of moving again from west to east, and now we're kind of up to where the water feature would be. This would be that bistro seating with the shade structures going over to where you'd have your stage area there. Next slide. And then now we're just kind of shifting where we're looking north. We're coming out of that building there, looking at that rock walkway across. And again, you don't see a big bubblers here or anything like that. That was a request. We didn't want spouting water. We didn't want to create that area where people are coming out of the beach going, well, let me just go rinse off over in Lake Plaza. So this would all be very subdued, very low to the ground, and maintain silence. Next slide. And then we get into Seawalk Pavilion. And this I've kind of struggled with the designer because sometimes I've seen Seawalk Pavilion separate from Lake Plaza, but more recently I'm like, no, I think there really is a connection there. Especially when we talk about the theming, but we'd have these kind of grand staircases that would be coming up to the terraces with larger blocks set aside for people to sit and just people watch because that's what you do at the beach. And again, I think we could actually put power into these retaining walls here, so we probably in real life would split these tents out and have that access way right through the middle. And again, you're not having to worry about that extension cord running right through the middle of it. Next slide. So these are some of the concepts, some of the imagery we looked at, kind of what that glow-in-the-dark material could look like in the concrete there.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Go back to two screens. One more screen.
No.
The grade, I love the idea of the grandstand seating. I think that's fantastic and it's well needed. On the grade, have we looked at the elevation as to whether or not you can see the ocean at any point, whether you're at the 1 foot level versus the 4.5 foot level? Maybe to increase that, or?
We kept it at this low of a grade because all the way back in the Dick's height plans, when they had the smaller terrace seating towards the back, it was always a concern for our police department that if we had it too tall and there were sight issues, like if somebody was able to kind of get behind one of the seat walls, and we were told if the average height person couldn't see over the wall that they weren't necessarily comfortable with it. So that was the thought process behind this. And then on that same note, this backside, you know, being 4.5 feet tall, and the entire back of that essentially could and will be concrete because this back is really completely ADA accessible. We've also looped the art committee in on the bird statues, on the little turtles on the ground, and then as well as doing some type of unique mural, signage, whatever you want to call it, all across the backside of that. Just want to add that note in there before I forgot.
And this is the elevation, so now we're kind of, you know, from the beach looking back, and then zoom in, or next slide please, and I kind of zoomed in here. So that would be that 4.5 foot, not, it's not a huge height, but it's enough, we think, aesthetically to kind of give you that ability to look up and over. And then we also try to maintain, you know, these are 50 feet wide to maintain that ability to have, maybe it's a concert where you just have the merchandise tents in the back or the beer vendor. Just, but be able to provide that place where people can go. Mm-hmm. Next slide, please. And so with that, questions and feedback, and if you just skip the next slide, I just have the concept right there.
I do want to add, just from our internal meeting, you know, again, we meet bi-weekly, and then internally now we've met, like Heather said, with police department, fire marshal, parks and recreation, every department that would have any stake, public works, and a couple of things I want to point out is, you know, that this whole backside, I know when we see stairs and things like that, we always get nervous with ADA compliance. Our paralegal in our legal department, she is also now our ADA coordinator, and so I roped her into all of this, and I got like a 15-page document now on where all of this falls, and so we're working, and all of that will be ADA compliant, and she is working with us to ensure that everything we do in this will be. And then also I know at concerts, we always have some type of AV tent, equipment, something. This kind of little concrete pad right here, that will be something that we will designate. And when we have those stakeholder meetings with event producers, ensuring that we give the size they need, we give them adequate space, ample power, you know, whatever they need to still be able to produce events. And then like, you know, with the concerts and different things right now, you know, even Moonlight Movies, we have this flat seat. And so if you get there late, you're in the back. if you're like me and you're not very tall, you can't really see up to the stage. And so having that tiered system will also help with kind of ensuring everybody's got a pretty good view. That was our thoughts with the tiered system.
And the CRA was the entity that suggested maintaining the ramp down the middle. They said, you know, feedback was as much that AV terminal gets set up, people really can't see it, so they sit to the sides. And so then we split the ramps up front here just so that we had that space for it.
Have we thought about flooding?
We have, but that's about it. We've thought about it. We're going to leave that stage up to the engineers when we get into that and making sure that everything is adequately sloped and that it's going to the proper drainage system and we have the proper drainage channels in place. So I am not the expert on that. Our Public Works director also brought that up. So Public Works is involved and then our engineering team.
As long as it was brought up.
Absolutely. We do not need this flooding in the first rainstorm.
Yeah, the stage, obviously, I know it's there, but I know, and I'm trying to think, like Spring and the Blues, they have two stages.
Right.
One is SeaWorld Pavilion, and the other one on 2nd Street.
Right. So essentially, that would replace vendors having to constantly bring in a secondary stage.
But the only reason I bring it up is the stage were far apart.
Sure.
So, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, and that, you know, when we have those conversations with event producers, if that's too close, then we can look at figuring out, can we move this to that front corner?
But I was also thinking, because during Spring and the Blues and some of it, some of the other ones, we're closing off, I think that's 2nd Avenue and 1st Street in those areas. I think it would also be beneficial to probably close off 2nd Avenue right in between Latham Plaza and City Hall, because that ends up bottlenecking anyway, and they could put the stage right where it's kind of dipping in, and then also, or you know, they could put the Ferris wheel there or something. But I think there's a good idea to use those streets in those areas to
additional space.
Yeah, for additional space.
And that came up in the staff meeting as well, so that's something we're very aware of and trying to make that work. Absolutely.
So looks like the center walkway on the pavilion, are those grade slopes? They look to be about 20 feet wide?
Yes.
Yeah.
And these are drawn to scale, so these are 8%. So for every
as far as capacity and ingress and egress of people, if we had to move them quickly, could we do that?
Yes.
There's also stairs on the
side.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Absolutely. And at one time, one of the earlier concepts, we had basically put a retaining wall along here, but improving this by putting the stairways on the side. It just opens up the site.
I like the idea of the stairs because then that kind of provides you some seating. If you just want to sit down and eat a sandwich really quick versus
have lunch.
Not really, I mean, you see people sitting on the little planters around, you know, the short little planters. So I'm glad that we're kind of naturally considering some seating in there. I don't want to forget to say, I think I said it after I attended the CRA meeting, which was from that AV pad, we need to make sure we have trenching to go to the stage for cords. And I do like that there's been some consideration of, we're not trying to push out special events, we're trying to activate this space all the time, and special events is certainly part of that.
Yep.
What is the little yellow waves and the blue? Is that
those anything? Are different color concrete.
Yes.
Okay, so that's flat.
Yeah.
So in this scenario, we're taking out the shrubs and the fence that goes all the way around Latham Plaza. So I just want to, we don't have to solve it now, but if we require events that serve alcohol to fence off the space, and that much temporary fence is a lot and probably not very aesthetically appealing. So I just want to throw that out there as we're talking to event promoters and within staff. I do like the idea that we're already talking about potentially modified footprints for our events. You know, think differently about how we use the space. Some of our events have been using it the exact same way for 30 years. And I think that I'm glad that we're thinking about looking at the space a little differently for each of our future events. And very few of them even overflow past, you know, the majority of our special events are just in the Seawalk Pavilion, if you think about the walks and the runs and things like that. Or they take both spaces.
Sorry, right?
That wasn't like a hidden.
No.
So I'm glad that we're considering those, the larger events too, yeah. And I'll look forward to hearing what those guys
Absolutely.
Think.
Can you go to 28?
Yes.
So I don't know the answer to this, but when you have the walls, mm-hmm. they're slightly raised. What's going to keep people from standing on those to block everybody behind them from seeing the stage?
Yeah.
I mean, do they have to be raised above the natural, above the ground line?
Well, so what we're thinking of raising them here is we can get some lighting in there. Mm-hmm. So
or is there a way that we can? Or is there a way that we can create them so people will not stand on them?
I mean, we can play with the cast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I just think if you have something raised, people are going to stand on it and defeats the purpose.
The reason for raising was to be able to provide lighting on either side of them.
No, I mean, I think you're right. Make it if it's angular or something, then you got to put lighting on it.
I like the idea of it being angular. And also, it was a little bit safety as well, just because if it is dark and it's at night and you're walking, you might trip over it, but at least at this point you've got a stopping point, whereas if it was completely flat and then just dropped, they're just going to kind of whoop, over the edge.
Okay.
And this even served as another seat wall here for people in the very back. But.
Yeah.
Well, I think I don't mind the one in the back.
Yeah.
The one at the highest points on both of those. I'm fine with that. I just don't think the two walls, the first level up and the next level, those two, they need to be something different.
Okay.
On the two walkways, one where I see the wheelchair mm-hmm. and one where I see the family walking the dog, is it going to be concrete or pavers?
Concrete.
Have we thought about, as a former skater?
Mm-hmm. We sure have.
As a former skater, I remember, in high school, we used to, hey, you can't skate here at this office building, but it was just so nice to skate there.
Yeah, we've had those conversations and... Quite frankly, even the seating walled area, looking at what we can do to mitigate making it as easily accessible as possible, kind of try to make it where it's not, they've got those little almost puck things that now go in the concrete that are pretty aesthetically minimal. You don't really see them, but it prevents people from being able to slide across it on a skateboard. So we're absolutely having those conversations. A reality we're going to have to work on.
I would be tempted.
So
what about the fact, because I've used the Seawalk Pavilion area before for a run, and the way it's configured right now, there's those paved sections that event producers can use for vehicles to you can drive your vehicle
right
there, not on the grass. Now there's no way to do that on the Seawalk Pavilion lawn now, and so
that's going to be one of those decisions. Unfortunately, we're just going to have a hard time having to make that choice because you're right. This does eliminate the ability to drive, or it makes it a lot harder to access with this design as it is now. Now at this front where we've got some landscaping here, can we bring that concrete in a little bit in the front where they're able to unload here and then come up the ramps? That's something to consider and look at. This back sidewalk, it's hard to tell, but where it goes on First Street North, this whole back piece is a pretty wide sidewalk as well. So we can definitely look at options on the north and south side of the Seawalk Pavilion area.
As drawn, these are both 10 feet wide.
Yeah.
So we try to anticipate some need for some to drive through there.
And then go back to there was one of the elevations that showed the height of back level.
The Seawalk side? That one, maybe?
Yeah, so okay. I guess I know this was...
Or this one. That's more zoomed in.
Yeah, this was discussed before. I guess that wall space there and mm-hmm. people hiding behind it and that sort of thing.
So it only being 4.5 feet at the highest point, the conversations we've had thus far, everyone feels pretty comfortable with that height. Again, because the average person, it's not going to be very difficult for our police department and officers to just look over, essentially. And then we also have this large 10-foot sidewalk across the back as well, where I'm sure during large events that will be a major, ingress and egress point. So we'll likely have a heavy law enforcement presence back there as well.
And so will there be railing or something there to keep people from falling and hurting themselves? And,
Once you get about 30 feet.
The whole terracing thing just makes me nervous because of the... I just see people
Yeah. Understandable.
I don't know. It's,
okay. Okay.
And then, of course, I mean, I know, Mayor, you know, you're wanting to think outside the box, but I keep thinking of Deck the Chairs and kind of how they have things set up, and they've got that great huge tree, and they've always set it up in the Seawalk Pavilion lawn, and it's kind of like, is that space even able to accommodate
Absolutely.
That anymore?
Yeah, so. I mean, the big tree can go down in the front section, and you can fit several rows of the chairs all the way up the tiered setting.
And again, from back of this wall to front of this wall is 50 feet.
Yeah, those are 50 foot wide. You can kind of see on this elevation how wide these are. These aren't narrow little quick changes. It's very, very wide, which sometimes I have a hard time remembering until I walk out there and see how large the space is. You know, looking at a drawing is one thing, but when you're actually in the space and realize how large 50 feet really is, I think, again, we're going to have to be flexible and make some changes to the way we do things, but I do think we'll still be able to accommodate the events that everybody loves.
I think it looks great. I think you've done a good job.
Question. So I know there hasn't been any public input on this yet. So what happens if we have workshops and we have public input and there's a lot of things that people don't like? I mean, because it looks like a lot of work has been put into this.
Well, and this was intentional because back when all the Dix Heights stuff started in 16 and there were months and months and months of public workshops, the plans that were then turned over to HAF are those plans that came from that. So this wasn't just pulled out of the air. There were years of workshops with council, CRA, and the public. When we did that last time, well, I say we, Heather and I weren't in these roles, but when that was done last time, by the time it got to the CRA and council, the CRA and council weren't really as big a fan, especially the CRA. They were like, we don't really like this. Like, this isn't achieving the goals as it was intended to in the 2015 Downtown Action Plan. And so this time we figured, okay, let's take the Dix Heights design, work with the CRA, work with council, get the input, and really fine-tune this to the best that we could in this stage of design, and then take that to the public so we weren't kind of chasing our tails off, so to speak. You know, last time we went through all these public workshops and then the agency didn't like it.
On the other hand, too, my concern is that you're going to have people who are going to say, well, you've done all this, so
you
don't really want my input.
This started from public input. So again, I think that's the biggest takeaway here, and that's the biggest misconception, is that this was just a staff and CRA-driven project, and that's just not the case. This came from literally months, if not years, of public charrettes and workshops and red dot, green dot sessions, and so this wasn't blindly decided on. This came from a very public-driven concept that then we took those comments and those feedback, and every session was provided to have all of the notes, all of the public comment, and that's how we got to this point. But again, we still have it in this stage of design to then still go back to the public, because it is a big change and we're all aware of that. You know, this is something that has been the same for a very long time, and it's a big deal to change it this much, and so we want to be respectful of that with the event producers and the general public, because the goal here is not to eliminate the uses that it has now, it's to enhance and add to. So
I like the work that's been done thus far in the concept. I think it's fantastic. There's some misinformation out there about we're trying to get rid of events, and that's not the case. And I think that this design really lends itself to repurposing these events and allow them to be even better. More access for the public and more facilities and just a better use of our amphitheater as well. Which, by the way, is that up for remodeling?
But back to what you were saying, Sandy, I attended those workshops. I don't know if you were there, and then it was brought up on council. I think you were like that. I can't remember. It's been a long time. But I remember the design for Latham Plaza was completely different, and there was some stuff. And I think that's when our former city manager talked about why he got rid of some of the benches and stuff. And I think this was 2011. I can't remember. It's been a long time.
No, it was after. I think all of that was after Chris was elected.
Was it?
Because you guys hired Dix Heights, I believe.
They were brought on in 2015.
And I remember,
but they were a different company before that, right? That they were the same people.
There was another group that did some work in 2011 that was not Dix Heights. They came on in 2015.
They changed the name. It was the same people, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the input that the people were giving, so.
Yeah, there was a lot, and a lot of good feedback, honestly, and we kept record of all that and the notes from all of those, and so we definitely don't want that to get lost in this design. Anything else?
Well, one last thing. Design is not final yet, so it's still flexible, and I know with the vendors, like, you're just very saturated, and I know we're talking about having electrical plugs. Are we able to have them spread out throughout?
Yes.
To adapt if there's an event and it doesn't work out, to where, hey, we're able to fix it right away. And
So I put final concept because in the proposal, once we get past those first two concepts, we go to the final. And it's like, well, that's what the proposal says.
Right.
I feel like I should stay with the contract.
But at
this level, I mean, as you mentioned, the skateboard, there are so many details that still need to be worked out. But one thing, we have already reached out to Sesco Lighting, which is a lighting rep company I've worked with for several years, and the electrical engineer, started talking about, you know, how are we going to configure? Is it going to be a light pole that's got Wi-Fi and speakers and electrical
and Wi-Fi
outlets? You know, how are we going to this?
Nope, we're going to put Wi-Fi.
It's much bang for our buck into the pack.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Just one request with this. You did something on the north east corner. So I put overwatch in the garage. The garage is going to have a very
north east.
And then we got on the north east corner. We got
okay.
The size block.
Okay.
So I can do overwatch in the whole area.
Okay. Top. That's
and
relatively
then
easy to do.
What does Parks and Rec say about?
So we had Jason and Trevor, we've had them in a lot of, actually Trevor was a part of the selection committee and deciding to work with HAF, and at our staff meeting, Trevor is the one who really advocated, because, you know, we don't know anything about the difference between maintaining turf and natural grass. They're big supporters of the artificial turf. You know, again, they've got it down at parks with the playground and then with the big field. And being able to just kind of spray something off versus having to constantly come in and replace sod every year, they were big fans of. I don't remember any major, am I forgetting anything major, Jason? I don't remember any major concerns. You guys? Yeah, the turf. But other than that, they were pretty supportive, and Trevor felt confident that where we're at now and with the maintenance plan that we've created for the district and with the staff that we have, we would be able to do some of this in-house, and then whatever we didn't need to, we've got contracted out work that we work with on maintenance. So,
are we going to have time to feel the turf, seeing that you brought it?
And
we have
if you, I mean, floors. Caitlin, you want to pass the turf? So, no, okay, and the story behind this.
That one is a little more natural.
I was going to say, the reason that we liked it is because we've seen pictures of this next to actual grass, and where it's got this
brown,
the brown in it, when it's in large, giant samples, it does not look like your fake football field. It actually looks.
How does the turf feel about cigarette butts?
I would turn that question over to Trevor, and he's not
here. Can you legally smoke there now?
It does. Yeah, I figured it would not be ideal.
I think we need to go consider going no smoking, and when we relaunch.
I didn't think we could. I didn't think we could smoke in part.
It's not certainly enforced.
Okay.
And I don't think advertised either. So.
Okay.
Play soccer games.
Good to know.
Can you throw it down?
Skateboarding, playing soccer, all kinds of things. Okay. It's a good point.
Cool.
I don't smoke anymore.
And one of the things about the feedback we received from all of you on January 30th was to kind of have that diagonal layout.
Yeah.
One of the earlier slides. But what that has allowed is we start creating these spaces. And, you know, we could add more, you know, sidewalks through here to create other spaces where
multiple
maybe this
uses.
Is a synthetic turf, maybe this is actual grass, maybe this is synthetic turf. So the design has a lot of options. I've already been starting to think, like, okay, when we start getting into the costing and what's going to be too expensive, what do I need to cut? There's a lot of options that this design gives us, I think, going forward.
Okay.
I feel very good about that.
Anybody have any other questions? I know we kind of ran right up to our neighbors over here. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We only got 1 minute left. Do any of those members need to do a report out on anything? Do you want to have a copy on camera
camera system upgrades from the police chief in advance of next Monday's council?
For the camera system?
Yes.
I was approved by CRA today, that's only what I have.
Okay.
Unanimously.
I will just mention that the legislative session, as everybody knows, ended on Friday, and vacation rentals was like up to the last minute, and the Senate saved us, honestly, because they stuck to their guns. And actually, Senator DeSigley, I give him a lot of credit because he spoke on the floor on Friday and said, you know, we've got to get this right because this is the most important issue for his constituents, which it is, I think, a big issue for us as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, Senator Yarborough reached out to me and said that he'd like to get some input on what could be done to make that bill better for next year because it is going to come back. So I think we need to get some proactive.
His aide reached out to me the other week when I saw him, and he said the same thing. And what I told him was, sit down with the people that voted you in and your elected officials in this municipalities. They're the ones that
David Dahl
here.
Margot Murray.
Right.
And the utility thing got resolved.
Yes. Justin Lemon.
Yeah.
Justin Henderson.
Thank you, everybody.
Here.
Aw, Debbie.